Orleans. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. What do you get when you combine modern jazz, the music of Woody Guthrie, Delta Blues, and Dvorak's American String Quartet? You get singer-songwriter Luke Winslow King.
My music, I guess, is for people who feel like there's something positive and exciting left out in the world to experience, you know?
But beware, Winslow King's talent has drawn aggressive praise.
My first day at work, this guy, Freddie, came in, and I was playing a song for him, and he started weeping. And then I got a big, slobbery slap in the face right after that.
Music so good, you'll want to slap the guitar player. Luke Winslow King, after the break. Universities nationwide are reporting a decline in the number of students majoring in history. At some schools, history class enrollment is as low as anyone can remember. But at the same time, more and more young singer-songwriters are trucking in the past. They're celebrating the early traditions of American music, country, blues, folk, and jazz. Call them Americana artists, or steampunkers, or just men and women who like to wear hats. And yet, recreating the past is just a parlor trick if an artist has nothing to say. Luckily, Luke Winslow King has plenty to say. Born in Michigan, Winslow King has had some of the best schooling an artist could possibly want, and he's been carrying his elegant blend of sepia-toned music around the world.
Oh, you and me, babe, me and you, there ain't nothing we won't do. Oh, you and me, babe, me and you, there ain't nothing love won't do. You take me sailing out in a boat, put you in long, long ermine coat. I'll take you on the fire escape, baby, and I'll kiss you in the wings. Made you smile, oh baby, made me say, all you and me, baby, me and you, there ain't nothing, baby, we won't do. All you and me, baby, me and you, there ain't nothing in the world that we won't do.
So it's just you and me and Luke Winslow King here at Elephant Quilt Studios in New Orleans. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Gwen. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here.
Yes,
I really
me
am.
Too.
Tell me about your guitar. I mean, this is a sweet little honey you got there.
Yeah, this is it's called a national guitar. Some people call it a round neck dobro, and it's made completely of steel. It's a 6-string guitar, and I play it in an open tuning with a slide. And yeah, the guitar's been real good to me. It's nice to travel with. I bought this when I first came to New Orleans in 2001.
So it's an old friend.
That's right.
Well, let's start at the very beginning, okay? And I'm sure you've answered this question a million times, but the name Winslow King sounds about as patrician gets. Is there a patrician line running through Cadillac, Michigan?
You know, Winslow King is an old family name that came over on the Mayflower, and it kind of traces our ancestry back to England and in that way. But yeah, it was great to find myself down here from Michigan growing up as a kid.
I can imagine. And, I mean, it sounds very Masterpiece Theater, I have to say. It doesn't surprise me that it came over on the Mayflower.
Right.
So what did your parents do when you were growing up?
My mother runs a soup kitchen for the poor in Cadillac, and she serves maybe 600-700 meals a week to poor people in Cadillac.
Mm-hmm. And she did that while you were growing up?
Yeah, she's been doing it for about 20 years.
Amazing.
Yeah, and she's an artist at home. She paints and stuff and runs a farm. And my father works at a hospital and plays a little guitar in his off time.
Wow, and so what did your household sound like when you were growing up?
You know, we listened to a lot of, you know, just pop music and rock and roll. My dad was really into Bob Dylan and James Taylor. We had a piano and always guitars around the house. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a Baptist church, so there was a lot of hymnals around and people singing hymns on Sundays and stuff like that, too. But I started taking guitar seriously around 8 or 9 years old.
And were you playing those Bob Dylan songs that your folks liked so much, or?
No, I got into Green Day and Nirvana, you know, in the 90s.
Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking up. Am I just paranoid?
And then I traced it back to Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin, and then to Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf of the Chess Records sound, which led me to Mississippi and Louisiana blues.
Hey, I should have put you hey, a long time ago. I should have put you, baby, a long time ago. I should have put your pretty baby, went on down to Mexico.
I should have been gone. But no, I should have been gone. And I wouldn't have been here down on the killing floor.
One thing that I can find that is similar is like this reckless abandon, you mm-hmm. know, of like. Like, I think Chess Records, they were maybe kind of the punks of the day, just being wild, wilding out, making music that made people shiver and get excited and made people's parents angry at their children for listening to it.
It's true. It's all the same picture. You're just picking out different colors, I suppose, you know?
Yeah.
But as a young person, you ended up at Interlochen, right?
That's right. I grew up only an hour from Interlochen Arts Academy, which is a really wonderful boarding school in northern Michigan. And
Did you board?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Yep, I was there full time, and I studied jazz guitar as my major. But it was a great school to go to because there was dancers and actors and artists from, I would say, 50 or 60 countries my senior year. So,
yeah, I mean, this is sort of a Juilliard as a high school, right? And it had some incredible, you know, students along the way. You know, you have actors like Ed Helms and Felicity Huffman who were there, right? And then you also have, you know, musicians like, you know, Rufus Wainwright and Nora Jones and Jesse Norman, right?
And Jewel.
And Jewel.
That's right. Don't forget Jewel.
That's right. Don't forget yeah. Jewel.
No, it was a wonderful experience. And a lot of those famous people's children now are going there.
Yeah, so Richard Pryor's daughter went there, didn't she?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But it really inspired me to go for a life of being an artist.
Yeah.
You know, coming from Cadillac and being, you know, one of the best guitar players in my high school didn't place me very high in the running for actually being able to make it as a professional musician. But when I went there, I had the encouragement and support and inspiration to really feel like I could go for it.
Exactly.
You know, and I left there on a high where I felt like I could really, you know, live my life as an artist. And from that point on, I really, you know, put one foot after another in that direction.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And so were you writing songs back at Interlochen in high school?
I was. I had had a band in Cadillac before I went to Interlochen, and I had been writing songs for that. I probably wrote my first song around 12 or 13 and got more serious about it through my teenage years.
Okay, you know I'm going to ask you. I mean, what's the song? You got to help us out here. Can you sing it?
Oh, my first song?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Gwen, I can't do it.
Oh, come now.
I can't do
we
it.
All
I can't
remember our
it.
First song.
I could sing an old one for you, but I don't think I can do it. I'm too shy on the radio, Gwen.
It's all right. That's all right.
This is probably my oldest song that I am still willing to perform.
That you claim. And yep. It's called?
This is called St. Andrew's Ferry. I wrote this on a boat, my first ferry boat ride across the Mediterranean.
Ladies and gentlemen, St. Andrew's Ferry.
2, 3, hey.
I'm gonna take you on a ferry, sailing across the deep and rolling sea. I'm gonna take you on a steamship ride, baby, just you and I. When I get on board, I will adore you and share with you the secrets of my heart. I'll take a vessel to the bottom of your soul. Let my love take its toll on you. Sit back and let it take its toll. I've brought you trouble. I've caused you pain. But now's the time to have it out and get down to it. Maybe we could understand one another. I could be your man. Well, our love is like a mystery in the ocean. Our hearts are at the mercy of the tide. I know the moon is pulling on you when you're sleeping. My love for you, I'll never hide. I won't even try. My love for you, I'll never hide. I'm gonna take you on a ferry, sailing across the deep and rolling sea. I'm gonna take you, baby, gonna take you, honey, on a steamship ride with a who bigs pie, baby, on a steamship ride. Come on, let's go.
That is fabulous.
Thank you. I added the part about the Hubig's pie after the plant burned down the street.
I know. And Hubig's is a great New Orleans institution, and hopefully it will be back very quickly.
Yes.
There's a very wholesome sound to that song. And it's just, how do I put it? I mean, at a time when most young people are not really interested in sounding wholesome.
You know,
you seem to find a lot of beauty in it.
Thank you. Yeah, I've always just tried to be honest with myself and my audience, and had that be my quest. You see so many people trying to pretend to be a character or become someone else for their audience to gain steam and to have people be impressed and shocked by what they do. And I'm just trying to shock myself by being as much myself as I can, you know?
Yeah.
And that's always been my quest, to just be really direct and really forward with my audience and with myself and with my band. And I'll just, I'll see how far that takes me.
Well, when you say that you left high school ready and open, you know what I mean, to go in any direction,
mm-hmm.
What did you learn at Interlochen that you would never have learned anyplace else?
Yeah, I saw how dedicated people could be to their art. I mean, there was child prodigies from Asia coming here to study piano, and they were practicing 8 hours a day, you know? So that really made me really want to work on my chops and really spend time and, you know, try to catch up with some of those kids. I dropped out of college my first semester, and I went on a road trip all around the country performing a show of Woody Guthrie's music with two other friends. And that's kind of when I got back into my roots of songwriting and started kind of developing this polarity within my music, that I was into jazz improvisation, but also just like really rustic Americana.
That's what I would, yeah, I mean, that sounds about right to me. I mean, in the sense that, I mean, obviously people love Woody Guthrie from coast to coast, but there's something about, you know, I mean, the area of the country where you grew up, where, you know, I mean, that seems very well suited, you know what I mean, to that study, the study of Woody Guthrie and the sort of promotion of Woody Guthrie songs.
Yeah. On that trip, I was really torn because I had been playing bebop in school and studying jazz and more theoretical sides of music for years. And then I went off on this other tangent of like, you can, if you're playing Woody Guthrie songs, you only need a tin can and the will. Like, you don't even need an instrument to play some of his music.
Yeah.
And it's just about expressing the emotions of the people of the America and being inspired by the land and its people and traveling and having all these stories. So when I finally got to New Orleans, my two worlds collided, because I always had loved people's music like Woody Guthrie, and I also loved jazz improvisation. And when I came here and I was exposed to ragtime jazz or traditional jazz more deeply, I discovered that it was people's music, because you could bring a melody home with you.
That's
you could
right.
remember the melody, and that you could dance to it and relate to it, that it wasn't too sophisticated, but it also had these elements of improvisation. So
exactly.
It was really great that my journey, it kind of split me in half. And then when I got to New Orleans, I realized that those two worlds could be the same.
But your entry into New Orleans began with Woody Guthrie and a crime. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I was traveling on this Woody Guthrie show, and I parked my van with all the equipment that the whole band was traveling with in front of the Pink Hotel on Ursuline Street, right near Ursuline and Rampart. And
in the French Quarter.
That's right. Uh-huh. And John Boutte was our host at that time. He was my first friend that I met in New Orleans.
The great troubadour.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I met him through a mutual friend when he was touring with Cubanissimo in Michigan.
Yes.
So when we came here, he said, come on down. I'll make sure y'all are taken care of. He says, just park right in front of the hotel on Ursuline. Don't worry about it. And he apparently didn't know that there was instruments in the van. And we woke up the next morning to broken glass on the sidewalk. And we received the van back in about 2 or 3 weeks with mm-hmm. none of the instruments.
Yeah.
But I always say to people that was just enough time for me to fall in love with New Orleans and decide to move here. So
sure.
It was a blessing in disguise.
So what was your best Guthrie song?
Oh, wow. You know, when I was on the road then, after the week after the car got stolen, Hard Traveling was my favorite one to do.
I've been having some hard traveling, I thought you knowed. I've been having some hard traveling way down the road. I've been having some hard traveling, hard rambling, hard gambling. I've been having some hard traveling, Lord. I've been riding them fast rattlers, I thought you knowed. I've been riding them flat wheelers way down the road. I've been riding them dead enders, blind pastures, kicking up cinders. I've been having some hard traveling, Lord. Well, I've been hitting some hard harvesting, I thought you knowed. North Dakota to Kansas City, away down the road. Cutting that wheat and stacking that hay and trying to make about a dollar a day. And I've been having some hard traveling, Lord. I've been working at Pittsburgh Steel, I thought you knowed. I've been pouring red hot slag way down the road. I've been blasting, I've been firing, and I've been pouring red hot iron. And I've been having some hard traveling, Lord.
But I was a little bit young singing about, you know, slinging that Pittsburgh steel and, you know, cutting that straw, stacking that hay, all that stuff. I didn't really know much about at the time, but I was going for it anyway. We just traveled out to the Grand Coulee Dam on our tour of Washington, and we were exposed to the music he wrote when he was out there and really re-inspired to sing this song, Pastures of Plenty, which is one of my favorites now, that really sings about the migrant workers in America. And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous piece. Maybe I can share a little bit later.
No, maybe you can share like a little bit now.
Sure, I would love to. Yeah.
It's a mighty hard row that my poor hands is hoeing. Yes, my poor feet have traveled a hot, dusty road. Out of your dust bowl and westward we roll. Your deserts was hot and your mountains was cold. California, Arizona, I raise all your crops. Well, it's on up to Oregon to gather your hops. Dig the beets from your ground, cut the grapes from your vine. To set on your table your life's sparkling wine. Well, green pastures of plenty from dry desert ground. To the Grand Coulee Dam where the water runs down. Every state in this union us migrants have been. We will come with the dust, we'll go with the wind. Well, it's always we ramble this river and I. Along your green valley, I'll work till I die. My land, it depends with my life if it be. 'Cause my pastures of plenty must always be free. My land, I'll defend with my life if it be. 'Cause my pastures of plenty must always be free.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the Pastures of Plenty by Woody Guthrie.
That's a beautiful song.
Thank you. Yeah, I always just feel like in my travels and reading and learning about Woody Guthrie, I'm always just chasing him, just trying to catch up with all the places he went and all the great songs he wrote about people, you know? It's a really high bar to try to rise to.
We're talking with singer-songwriter Luke Winslow King. Coming up, why it pays to be kind to a pigeon. Don't go nowhere. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. People don't write songs about nature as much as they used to. Maybe it's because most of us spend our lives in cities and don't see the dragonflowers or whippoorwills that Luke Winslow King sings about. So when you hear a song like Bird Dog Blues, what do you suppose it means?
I've waited all through August.
That's Bird Dog Blues by Nature Boy, Luke Winslow King.
Yeah, nature has always been very inspiring to me. And I realize that although I've been in the city for the last 12 years of my life, I'm still a country boy kind of through and through, I'm realizing, getting back into fishing and chopping wood and stuff. And like,
were you really fishing and chopping wood in Cadillac, Michigan?
I was.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit. Yep. Okay. I'll show you the fish picture later. But I'm really glad that you picked up on the fact that we sing about nature a lot, because my biggest love has always been for rural blues and rural music.
So are you comfortable singing anything from your upcoming release that's nature related?
Yeah, I could do one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, let the crystal water spring, baby. Spring, baby.
That like pecan colored guitar could stick around forever.
Thanks,
but yeah, I mean, you really make the world a place that people want to touch and smell and, you know what I mean, and see, you know?
Yeah, thank you. My music, I guess, is for people who still feel like there's something positive and exciting left out in the world to experience, you know?
Exactly.
Like a lot of it's gone to hell, but there's still a lot of great things out there, you know?
That's
and there's,
exactly
there's still
right.
a few of us who believe it, I think.
But what made you think to write a song from a pigeon standpoint?
Another crumb, another day, a sea of gray. My anxious feathers want to flap my wings and make me fly away from here. Up in the sky, just look around and you will find. Each night my friend comes out, she glows above and calls my name without a sound. Sidewalks getting colder and colder. Got to make my move before I get much older. Rocket to the moon, you don't believe me. You think you know me, 'cause I'm a flying rat. You know, that song has a really deep story about it. There's
really?
Actually a film that accompanies that song. And there's this gentleman named Cosmo Sagerson who came from Los Angeles about 10 years ago and settled down in the Marigny.
Yeah.
And
here in New Orleans.
Yeah. And he made 16 millimeter films in his bathtub and was a great cinematographer. And his neighbor had a pigeon that was a pet. And so he made this really epic short film about a pigeon who's traveling to the moon. Made a little space suit for the pigeon and like got all these shots of maps of New Orleans that like zoom out. So it looks like he's launching off in this spaceship.
Rooftops getting smaller and smaller. Through the atmosphere, I know I might not make it. Ask me if I'm scared and I'll tell you no, sir. I've gotta go, sir. And I'm no rat.
'Cause damn it, I got wings.
And I'm no rat.
And I'm no rat.
Yeah, I have to thank Cosmo for that. That was a collaboration, and he's been a great help to us. He shot our last music video and just an incredible artist.
Yeah.
So you should check out his stuff online.
I certainly will.
Yeah.
No, little bird, you're not a train. You're feather and hollow bone. You were hatched for the sky, not mined from the ground. You're not mine.
Your leaving song conjures like this poetry in you. It's just pure poetry.
No, little bird, you're no machine. You need not push or pull anything, anything.
This is a song that I co-wrote with my ex-girlfriend, whose name was Ji-Eun Choi.
And she's still alive, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and she's so her name is still Ji-Eun Choi.
Yes, exactly. She was a really great, she is a great poet.
Thank you.
And and we had a great relationship writing music together for years, but it was a really powerful thing that we kind of wrote our breakup album together. So the leaving song was really important. I was in Georgia. And I heard a bird, and it was going choo-choo, choo-choo, choo-choo. And I said, no, little bird, you're not a train. And then the rest of the song followed. So it's no, little bird, you're not a train. You're feather and hollow bone. You were hatched for the sky, not mined from the ground. You're not mine. So it's kind of a really powerful song about if you love something, let it free.
No, little bird, you're not a train. Your wings and songs to sing. You have no goodbyes. All is in your eyes, in your eyes. Yay, little bird, your getaway is not bound by track or rail.
We're talking with singer-songwriter Luke Winslow King. Coming up, ask not what an Esther Rose smells like, but rather, what does an Esther Rose sound like? Stay with us. It's Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Here's our guest, Luke Winslow King, with Esther Rose, singing I've Got the Blues for Rampart Street.
Rampart Street in New Orleans town, known to everyone for miles around, for Creole music and real jazz band.
For a while, Luke Winslow King worked in New York as a music therapist. But then again, aren't all musicians music therapists?
I'm not a licensed music therapist, but I moved to New York about 3 months before Hurricane Katrina. I was, 22 years old or something.
Uh-huh.
And I found a job working at the Lavelle School for the Blind in the North Bronx, teaching music to blind, mentally disabled children. And one thing led to another, and I started getting hired by all these different agencies to teach music to, you know, mentally disabled people in the Bronx. I ended up working like 60 hours a week, going to all these different facilities, helping people express themselves through music.
Well, so tell me, how do you do it? I mean, how do you teach someone who knows nothing about music something about music?
Yeah, I think the first step is empathy, trying to understand where this person is and actually care about their feelings.
Okay.
And about how you think this person might be able to use music to make their life a better existence.
Okay.
You know, so for some people, it's very simple. It's, helping them learn to play guitar because that'll make them have a good time. Or some people have these really intense emotions they're trying to get out through poems, but no one reads the poems. But if you turn them into a song and they have a performance, they feel understood. Some people just need to hear beautiful, relaxing music. If you're living under the 6 train in the Bronx and it's gray every day and you don't have very much money and you don't eat very good food and you don't get to ever go on vacation, your life is pretty gloomy. You put on some Claude Debussy for someone who's never heard it, that's like really anxious and grew up in the hood, and you play that for them and like they just take a deep breath.
A story of maybe a day spent at the School for the Blind or at the Institute for the Disabled.
Yeah. So I had a little musical office in the corner, and I would get there and I'd get warmed up on piano, and I would just kind of spend my time getting my files organized. And then everyone would show up for the day, and you'd see people come in. They would go all these different groups.
And this is sort of a day program.
Yes. It was a day habilitation center for adults with developmental disabilities. It's called the Institutes of Applied Human Dynamics in the Bronx. And I'll share one story. My first day at work, this guy, Freddie, came in, and I was playing a song for him, and he started weeping. And then I got a big, slobbery slap in the face right after that. So, like, That was my first day, and you realize
he slapped you?
He did. He had something in his mind that told him, like, this person is making me cry, so I need to retaliate or something. Could never imagine what's going on in his mind. But it was my very first day of work, so it was really shocking for me and made me kind of reassess this job and if I was ready for it, you know? Freddie became one of the best people I could work with there. You know, he ended up writing some great songs and making some great strides, you know?
Yeah. So what would be a typical song that you might, you know, start out with?
You Are My Sunshine was a big hit there because everyone knew it. And I'll never forget, there was this guy named Sammy, and he had a bit of autism, and mm-hmm. he had a knack for remembering all the old Motown songs. He knew all the lyrics. It was really cool. So you could sit down and learn the piano parts, and he would know them, but he had this really strange voice where he would go from a really low register to a really high register. Like, yeah. And he did this amazing rendition of You Are My Sunshine that I'll never forget. There was moments where it was like, it sounded like he was like screaming across a canyon with the wind blowing in his face, just like such intense energy that he was putting into You Are My Sunshine, you know?
That's
and
amazing.
Like exploring all the different hues of the song emotionally through how he would deliver it with his voice.
The other night, dear, I was sleeping, but I was sleeping. I dream I held you. When I awoke, dear, I was mistaken. You are my sunshine. You made me happy. How much I love you. How much I love you.
Wow, yeah. This is the ultimate in interpretive song.
Yeah, sometimes people can discover whole new ways of, you know, exploring music,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you never would have even thought of. And teaching music and doing music therapy taught me a lot, but I think one of the most valuable lessons is how much I love performing. And it really led me back to realizing that I think I'm meant to be a performer with my life. Esther, who's my musical counterpart on
Esther
the last...
Rose?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She's my girlfriend and musical counterpart on The Coming Tide as well as the next album.
Yeah.
And we're just loving life and enjoying traveling together and getting along really well. And she's writing some really great songs that are going to be on our next album as well.
Oh, I believe it. Did she co-write this one?
You and Me?
Yeah, you
no,
and Me.
No, I wrote
me.
That for her.
Oh, my good gal, I've been had. I'll try never, Lord, make you mad. If there's one thing I know that's true, there ain't nothing gone wrong with you. Oh, you and me, me and you. There ain't nothing, baby, in the world that we won't do.
And it's great when you've been traveling 6 hours in the van to jump on stage and play that song.
Yeah.
It brings people up to the moment where you're at. And, you know, you talk about all the places you've been and how you're just going to keep traveling, you and me, me and you. It's really fun.
There's something about the way that you write where you can evoke, you mean, the intimacy of being in love and the joy of being optimistic, but also create that little sense of doubt that maybe things aren't going to work out.
Yeah, that's life, you know?
Yeah.
That's life, and that's what the music is supposed to reflect,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, I mean, even on your wedding day, people get cold feet, you know? And that's going to come in through your music, I think, too, you know? So if it's reflecting all of those things, the good and the bad and everything that's real in between, then that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and you do it very efficiently. I mean,
Thank you. Your
songs are not, you know, sort of Led Zeppelin 11-minute treaties. I mean, you're in and you're out.
Yeah. I've always, you know, with my production and the way that I like to do arrangements for albums and stuff, I like to trim the fat and just say what you mean and get out of the way and then leave room for something fresh. You know, so if there's room and the soloist has more to say and there's more to improvise, or if there's more lyrics to be had, then I'll put them in. But I don't want to ever say the same thing too many times. You know, if there's a chorus you need to drill in, you got to do it a few times for people to really get it.
Yeah.
Other than that, I really believe in being organized and concise and giving the audience just something they can work with at every moment. I don't ever want there to be a moment where someone's like, oh, I've heard this. I'm going to switch the track.
Yeah, not another, like not using the chorus as a crutch.
Right.
You know what I mean? To just keep repeating and repeating and repeating.
That's when I switch off the radio.
Yeah.
When I hear the chorus a third time in the row and they're not going any higher or lower, it's just the same thing again.
Yeah.
I got it. I get it.
Exactly.
And you
got
move on
it,
to something
it.
Else. So,
Where did you make that decision? I mean, was that something that you knew back in Michigan? Was that something that you learned down here? Where did you lock in that view?
Yeah. Probably studying classical music at UNO.
Mm-hmm.
And traveling.
University of New Orleans.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I traveled around Europe studying classical music through UNO with some of their study abroad programs. I think studying proportion in classical music is really interesting when you break down an orchestral piece or a sonata and you look at, okay, this is the A section, this is a transition into the B section, transition into the C section, and then there's the A prime section that looks just like the beginning but different, and then there's the outro, you know?
Yes.
And if you look at it and you analyze it, every note is going to or coming from somewhere, and there's never anything just thrown in there that's extra.
I know that you studied in Prague, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the Czech Republic. Were you studying Eastern European composers or just everyone?
Yeah, we were. We did study Dvorak
mm-hmm.
and Smetana and Janáček, who are some of the most famous Czech composers.
Yes.
You know, there's some really great classical music that's really rooted in the folk traditions of the Czech Republic that
yes.
I was really inspired by at the time. Dvorak's American string quartet in F major has always been one of my favorites, and it really sounds like America. He wrote that after he came to Iowa from
yeah.
the Czech Republic. Perfect proportions are really appealing to people.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you a little bit about you do what you do so well, right? In terms of, you know, this sort of beautiful sleight of hand that you have where you can make a song feel timeless because it has traces of the old and traces of the new and traces of you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But how do you make it music that feels spontaneous?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, let me just tell you, you look like $1 million. Okay.
Thank you, Glenn.
I mean, you're beautifully coiffed. You've got this lovely suit on, this lovely blue suit. You know what I mean? You look like someone who could be in a, you know what I mean, in a fashion magazine, right? You play this beautiful instrument that is just stunning. Even your band members, they all look fabulous, you know?
Thank you.
I mean, you and your girlfriend, I mean, Esther Rose, I mean, you look better than Brad and Angelina in some shots, right?
Glenn, thank you.
So, but the thing is, but how do you make it so it's not so perfect?
Yeah, well, a lot of what we do in our performances is, you know, we have the album that we go back to.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get on stage, we throw it over our shoulders. And it's kind of going for a ride. You know, people in are in my band because they know how to predict what I'm going to do next.
Okay.
My bass player, Cassidy Holden, I just look at him and he knows that I'm going to wait, or that I'm going to go to a different chord, or that I'm going to switch rhythms, or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
And Esther, too, she can just sing right inside what I'm singing. So that's part of it, is taking liberties with our live performances to involve the audience, like I was saying earlier, and take risks, you know, and that's what keeps it from being so perfect. Also, this guitar that I'm using now is beautiful and rustic, yes. But it's not the easiest guitar to play in the world. it's really heavy strings, and it's very unforgiving in a way.
Mm.
But it has this deep, rich tonality and this really bright, strong sound. You know, and I don't have the nicest, newest amp in the world. I use these crazy old amps from the 50s that kind of break up and give it that rough edge.
Yeah.
So we're always kind of on this quest to find like this rustic elegance.
Well, Luke Winslow King, thank you so much for coming and being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Gwen.
What would you like to take us out on?
I have this new traveling song that I'm really excited about. I think it's going to come out on the next album. I wrote this on a train in Italy like 5 or 6 years ago, and mm-hmm. then pretty much threw it in the trash and never liked it. And then I found this groove that I really liked for it, and I've been kind of reviving it. And yeah, I'd love to share it with you. It's called Traveling Myself.
Traveling all by myself, wanna be nobody, babe, wanna be myself when I go traveling. Traveling by myself, yeah. I can't love you, baby, less I'm being myself. I'm being myself. Ain't I pay no ticket? Ain't I pay no fee? Ain't I work for no man? I get it all for free when I go out traveling. Oh. Traveling by myself. Nobody, less I'm being myself. Singing, howling in your square. If you like my song, Rapunzel, won't you let me down your hair when I go traveling? Oh, traveling by myself. Yeah. I can't love you, honey, less I'm being myself. I'm being myself. When I go traveling all by myself, wanna be nobody, baby, I just wanna be myself when I go. By myself.
and love you, baby. Less I'm being my, always by my, less I'm being my.
Luke Winslow King joined us at Elephant Quilt Studios in New Orleans. And you've been listening to Music Inside Out. Our show is produced by Lynette Johnson, Sean Collins, and Jason Rhine. Music Inside Out is produced in partnership with WWNO. And special thanks this week go to the executive director and the day residents of the Institutes of Applied Human Dynamics in New York. For a full playlist of the songs from the hour, go to our website at musicinsideout.org. Also, share us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out.
Music Inside Out is underwritten by the Historic New Orleans Collection, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, Adam Newman Studio, and WWNO. Donations to Music Inside Out are tax deductible, thanks to our partnership with the National Performance Network. For more information on how you can support our program, go to our website at musicinsideout.org/support.